الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، my brothers and sisters, today I've spent almost the whole day in silence, not because I intended to do that or because I have inflicted it on myself, but due to various circumstances, different people have gone off to do different things, and I'm alone at home, so I'm sitting outside on the patio watching the trees grow, watching the birds come to the feeders as each one comes and goes and flies off and so forth. And then there's this canary which decides to sing his song every once in a while, so I stop and listen to him. And I've been reflecting and thinking to myself that what a wonderful life Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, where all of this, I'm able to enjoy this, the beauty of this nature, the beauty of the surroundings, and all of that at zero cost to myself, because this is thanks to my brother and his invitation to visit him and his family that I'm here. Which brings me to the thought that how much time do we give on reflection? What value do we give to silence? If you think about the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that the Quran will give us wealth or power or health or any of those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub." Verily, in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is tranquility, there is peace, there is harmony, there is contentment for the heart, for the hearts. Now, what value does contentment have in our lives? This is the big question. And today we are living in a world where we have reduced everything to its dollar value. So nothing is valuable unless there is some money attached to that. Whether it's education, we don't want to pursue an education in the arts. We don't want to pursue an education in humanities. We claim to be interested in technology and in science. But the real interest is in the fact that that's what gets us better paying jobs. It's not even interest in science by itself, because as I mentioned many times before, I was head of a scholarship program which gave full scholarship to the tertiary level for science graduates, for people who wanted to pursue science right up to the level of PhD. And the course would go begging. I mean, we would have to go look for people, hunt for people who would be interested in taking the scholarship. This is free money, but people don't even want free money because they don't want to study that. So I asked one of them, I said, how do you push back the boundaries of knowledge if no one wants to do research? He said, well, you know, what you're saying is right, but I'm sorry, I'm not the person for it, because I need to make money. So I will study computer programming or something, because that's what gets me a better job. So even the fact that he's studying something which is of a scientific inclination, of scientific nature, is not because he's interested in science. He's interested in it because it makes money. So everything is reduced to that. If you think about that, in most cultures, and we know this from even the life of Rasulullah Sallam, after Rasulullah Sallam reached a certain age, when he was in his late 30s, he would go off sometimes for weeks together, 2 or 3 weeks together, sometimes for some days. He would go off into the cave in Ghar Hira, and he would sit there. He would have dry rations, so he wasn't eating very much. And he would just spend the time by himself. So while he was up there, how did he bathe? Where did he go to the toilet? How did he look after himself? Was there any danger to him? How did he sleep in the night? All of these things, if you read the seerah, I always tell people, I mean, don't read the seerah for the stories. With every story, there is a lesson to be learned. So think about that, reflect on it. If you have the opportunity, go camp out in the bush. This is something which we have completely lost. Now think about that. Here is the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then at the age of 40, he gets his first encounter. The first revelation comes at the age of 40 in that ghar. So, and this is a tradition in If you look at all ancient cultures, the tradition of leaving the world, the material world, has been very much a part of all ancient cultures. So you lived your life in three parts, usually first part of childhood and adolescence, and then you started earning a living, and that was the part of being a householder. So you raise a family and so on, and then you reach a point where you renounce all of that and you leave and go away. Now in Islam there is no rabbaniyat as such, so I'm not saying leave your family and so on and go away, but I'm saying that we need to spend time in reflection, and for that you have to leave whatever you're doing, your family, your work and so on and so forth. And leave, I don't mean, you know, walk out on them. I'm saying that have time, private time to yourself, where you disengage yourself. And for the disengagement, two things are required. Number one is that you have to limit your, within quotes, what you like to call your needs. I mean, and all of these are not needs. These are all desires. These are all things which we do because we like to do them. We enjoy them. These are not needs. But if you bring your life down, simplify your life to needs, and then do what needs to be done to fulfill those needs, you can find that it's very easily possible that you can take time off to reflect, to think about it and reflect on your own life, and to try to find some contentment and tranquility in your heart. And believe me, if you can do that, it's truly the greatest of wealth. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.